Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 4, verses 45 to 54. That'll finish up the chapter for us. John chapter 4, verses 45 to 54. Now keep in mind this topic as we study. Gotta see a sign. I've just gotta see a sign. Let's look. John chapter 4, verse 45. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And he was as now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, you know, it's an interesting thing because it's obvious to us now looking at the story that this nobleman that came to Jesus and asked him to come down and heal his son was sincere. That's what he wanted Jesus to do. And Jesus Christ looked at him and rebuked him, really, except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. And Jesus Christ spoke and this fellow was healed. This fellow's son was healed. Now, what does this tell us? Because Jesus Christ would not have made the statement, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe, unless, in fact, this guy was really looking for a sign and a wonder, and unless all the people that were around him were doing that. I mean, notice, when he came into Galilee, the Galileans received him. Why? Because they saw, or having seen, all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. Well, what did he do there? He did some miracles. And that's why they believed him. In John chapter 6, he's being followed by a multitude. And there he tells them, Ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Very basic stuff. In other words, when you go through and you look at the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did while he was here on the earth, he had one object in mind, and that was simply to get the people stirred up so that they would know that he was the one, in fact, that had come really to save their souls more than anything else, to save that nation and set up his kingdom more than anything else. And ended up dying for our sins so that we could be cleansed. But, you know, there was a guy that was lowered down through a roof, you know, the roof tiles by four men. And Jesus saw their faith because there was no other way for them to get in. And he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And everybody's kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I thought this guy came down here to get, you know, fixed to the palsy. Which greater thing did Jesus do? Send the man out walking or forgive him of his sins? Well, we know now, forgiving him of his sins was the greater deal. Aren't we better off being crippled on our way to heaven than we are whole on our way to hell? Of course so. Jesus Christ even spoke about that in Mark chapter 9. So what are we to do here? Well, let's go through and look a little at Jesus as he performed these miracles. I mean, in other words, it was enough to get the thing started, but to continue on and on and on. He did some miracles out of compassion for people, but the main thing was he wanted to testify to them that, in fact, he was the one that could come, that did come to save our sins, save us from our sins. Look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Well, the Pharisees and the scribes are the ones that ordered the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and challenged him. They challenged him on why his disciples didn't wash their hands, challenged him on the washing the hands, and challenged him on his authority to cleanse the temple, and challenged him on the Sabbath, and challenged him on healing a withered man's hand in the temple. They're constantly after him, challenged him on whose wife would the woman be that was married to seven men and didn't have children by any of them. Challenged on the tribute money, challenged on the commandments. They're always after him. And they come over here and say, we would see a sign from thee. What for? Why do they care? They don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't then. Some of them did, thank God. But they were seeking a sign for selfish reasons. And that was what Jesus Christ was getting at. Look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And look at verse 11. Verse 10 for the context. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven. Why? Tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, entering into the ship again, and departed to the other side. Why, he didn't spend any time there with them at all. Why? He knew the motive of their question and the motive of their desire. They were tempting him, and all they wanted to do was see a sign from heaven. You know, there are a lot of people today that are going around professing to be miracle workers, and there are people that are coming to gawk and check this out, and there's a lot of temptation involved in that thing. Show me that you can do it. And so they have to kind of like rabbit out of the hat type deal. I don't believe that Jesus Christ is any more excited about it today than he was back in the day when the Pharisees pulled this junk in his day. Turn over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, look at verse 16. Now this is when Jesus Christ was accused of casting out the devil by devils. He was accused of casting out devils by Beelzebub. This was a time when the Holy Spirit himself was blasphemed by the Pharisees, because they said the spirit that was in Jesus Christ was the spirit of a devil. He hath a devil, they said. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 16, after accusing him, the Bible says in verse 16, and others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Ho, 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 ho. Kind of like, get down off the cross and then we'll believe you. Isn't that crazy? They weren't going to believe. If Jesus Christ had come down off the cross, they would have just ridiculed him and mocked him more, found a different way to kill him. And of course, it would have broken Scripture. Thank God he didn't come down. Come down from the cross and then we'll believe. You're casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Show us a sign from heaven. They'll see plenty. They'll see the Lord Jesus Christ coming back one of these days in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and on them that believe not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll see then. But he didn't have the desire to show them a sign that was just meeting and matching their temptation, taunting him in that way. He'd heal people when he had compassion. He'd heal people when it would give him an opportunity for them to trust him. He opened the eyes of a blind man. What for? So when that blind man came to him after he got kicked out of the synagogue, he says to that blind man, because it was all about believing, it's all about forgiving sins. That's what he came to do. He said, Doth thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. There you go. Look in Luke chapter 11, verse 29. When the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. And we'll discuss that sign in a minute. You know what? Our generation is no different than the generation when Jesus Christ was here on the earth. They're looking for a sign. And there are plenty of radio preachers and plenty of television preachers and plenty of church preachers these days that are willing to give them a sign. They're willing to take the temptation. They're willing to give the sign to this evil generation that we have. People say, show us a sign so we can believe. Heal my thing, whatever it is. I'm crippled, or my back, or whatever it is. Heal that. And that's to gain fame for the healer so that he can collect a lot of money off of the suckers. Hey, don't get me wrong. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God can heal, and I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God does heal. But this idea of people going around and demonstrating their healing power, that's what Jesus Christ was avoiding in these passages of Scripture that we're looking at. That's why he was grieved with that fellow when he said, Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. It frustrated him. He called him an evil generation in Luke 11:29. He called him in Matthew an evil and adulterous generation. And certainly that's true, the generation in which we live. These guys are going around today and demonstrating these signs. They're getting rich off of you. I don't blame you for wanting to be in good health, but let me tell you something, and you're going to see it here in just a minute. You yourself can go directly to God Almighty with your problem where you need health and ask Him to give you the health that you need, and if He is willing, He will. Like the leper said to the Lord Jesus Christ, If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And he said, I will. And he made him clean. Right then on the spot. John chapter 2, look at verse 18. John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? I said that very sarcastically, because what Jesus Christ had done is he went into the temple where they were disobeying the very commandments of God about what they should do and should not do in that temple. And they had turned that house of prayer into a den of thieves and merchandisers and money exchangers. And God was infuriated with that. And when the Lord Jesus Christ walked inside of that temple, he flipped over the tables and he scattered those people out of there. And he said, Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. That's when they came. And they said, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? They thought if he would show some miraculous sign, that they then would believe. Well, he showed many signs, even signs in the temple. Trouble is, he did it on the Sabbath day. And rather than believe because of the sign that he had shown, or whether withered man's hand is healed, or dead man's raised from the dead, any of those other numerous things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, they didn't believe. They got mad and decided that with somebody as powerful as that, what we need to do is destroy this man because he's going to take away our place. These Romans are going to come and get us. And because of envy, they decided to kill him. Why? He had more power than they did. Better man than they were. Righteous man. Holy man. Powerful man. He was grieved. He was grieved everywhere he turned around. Everybody's looking for a sign. Look in John chapter 6, verse 30. Once his fame had spread abroad and a few people knew that he had been able to heal them, that should have been enough for all of them. But they wouldn't go for it. They wouldn't believe the testimony. Kind of like Thomas. I won't believe that he's up unless I see for myself. You know, wouldn't even accept the eyewitness accounts. John chapter 6, verse 30. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Isn't that amazing? You know who asked them this question? John chapter 6. the 5,000 people that were fed in the wilderness from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All those people ate. And then they come there and he says, you said this is the work of God that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They say, show us a sign so we can believe thee. What is thy work? I'm telling you, man, no doubt what Isaiah said about that generation was exactly right, and it's true of our generation today. Seeing they see and perceive not, hearing they hear and understand not, their heart is waxed gross, and it grieved the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Herod, Herod's the one who's going to order his execution when he sends him back basically to Pilate. Luke chapter 23, when Herod had the opportunity to see Jesus Christ, he was excited. Verse 7, as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Why, Herod had as much interest in seeing a miracle done by the Lord Jesus Christ as paying customers do seeing David Copperfield perform magic. That's all it was, just a show. And that's what it was for so many of these people. Now, this nobleman here was desperate that his son would be healed. But he knew that when he would send that guy away, this guy said to the Lord Jesus Christ when he came up to him, come down and heal my son. For he was at the point of death, he wanted Jesus to come over there, lay his hands on him, do whatever kind of a miracle thing he had to do in order to get his son fixed up. And Jesus rebuked him, except ye see signs and wonders you'll not believe. So he put him to the test, checked him out. The nobleman says, saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. He didn't get into all that other stuff there. He just said, sir, come down ere my child die. Some people that Jesus Christ rebuked like that let the thing go, but this man didn't. He really wanted to see his son healed. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, there's an interesting thing. Because this fellow had not seen the sign of the healing of his son when he turned around and walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he have to do? He had to believe that what Jesus Christ said was right. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Interesting. If that's the case, then, this idea that you have to go to the healer and have hands laid upon you, or you have to go to his healing room in order to get healing, or this idea that he has to come to your place, I realize what James chapter 5 says, in order for you to be healed, is not correct when you consider that Paul was able to touch a handkerchief and have it sent over to a guy. Or Jesus Christ simply said, go ahead and go back, your son is healed. And this guy believed what he said. Jesus Christ performed a long-distance miracle. They compared the time of the healing with the time, you know, when he met the servants, of the time that the Lord Jesus Christ said that he was healed, and in fact it was the same time. Then that man knew beyond the shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ had done it, and then the Bible says himself believed in his whole house. And that's what Jesus wanted him to do, is believe. So, you've got to remember something. This whole thing we're dealing with is a bunch of Jews here. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says, beyond the shadow of a doubt, Jews require a sign. So all this, Jews require a sign, so Jesus Christ was doing this with them. And you know what you've got? You got a situation where when Jesus Christ came to the Jews, he did what Moses had to do in order for them to get to believe, the Jews of his day, to believe that he was the one who was sent to deliver them from Egypt. He said, they're not going to believe me. When I tell them whom I've been talking to, they ain't going to believe me. So God says, throw down the rod. He threw down the rod. It became a snake. He said, pick it up. It became a rod. He said, put your hand in your bosom and pull it out. He put his hand in his bosom and pulled it out. It turned into leprosy. He said, put it in and take it out again. It was whole as the other. Then he said, change the water to blood. And he said, now, if they don't believe the first two signs, they'll believe that third sign. And sure enough, when he showed them all that, they believed. The signs. That's Jews. That's what they require. Jews require a sign. Jesus Christ showed up in Cana of Galilee. This is the area that he performs this miracle in. As the Bible says, this is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Jesus Christ changed the water into wine, which is a type of blood, at the marriage of Cana, matching the water to blood that Moses did to prove that he was the right one to deliver the Jews from Egypt. He healed a man that was almost about to die in the same way that Moses' hand was healed of leprosy when he put the hand in his bosom and pulled it back out again. And so the two miracles that Jesus Christ performed up in Galilee matched the two miracles that Moses did to show that he was the guy that God was sending to get the Jews out of Egypt. And Jesus Christ showed that he was the guy that God had sent to get the Jews out of the bondage of sin. That should have been enough. It's just a couple of signs here, folks. And let's get on down the road. Because what happens is the people start looking so much for the signs and the healings and the food and the money and the prosperity that they get their minds totally off of what Jesus Christ came to do. What did he come to do? Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. They're all looking for signs. Christ wanted them to believe. This man did, thank God. And when he did and trusted what Jesus Christ had done, and then walked away and found out that, in fact, it worked. The Bible says he believed in all his house. It was a different kind of a belief in something stronger than what he had seen. See, we walk by faith and not by sight. This man saw that thing, and then he said, this is it, man. This is the guy. He and his house believe. Well, that's what Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Well, his household got saved because this man came back and said, well, Jesus is the one that did this. You know what? They had to believe him because they didn't see Jesus come down and do the thing. They had to believe that, in fact, it was Jesus that did it and not just a happenstance or a circumstance or a coincidence. And this man had to believe because he walked away not knowing whether the son had gotten healed or not. That's pretty good. Now, this thing going on today with all these signs and wonders and all these proofs of what God's doing through these miracle workers and all that thing, you know all that's really doing? That's conditioning the world to get ready for the Antichrist. Now, don't get me wrong. I've said this once already. I'll say it again. I want to reiterate it because some people have a hard time with lessons like this, understanding what Jesus Christ was saying to this man. He was frustrated and infuriated with the people of his generation. He kept calling them evil. He called them adulterous. He said, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The generation we have today is exactly the same thing. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, can and does heal today. Many miraculous things are being done by the Lord God Almighty. But those things do not make me believe that what God said is so. I believe it because it's here. And it's so. God said it. He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not faith cometh by seeing, and seeing miracles of God. They're getting the world ready for the Antichrist. When God destroys the Antichrist, the Bible says about him in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So this thing about getting all bent out on these signs and wonders, it's not right. We already have the signs that Jesus Christ did recorded for us in the Bible. Is it not good enough for you to believe what God said? The way these fakers talk on the radio and talk on the television today, they'd have you to believe that it only takes a little bit of faith to get saved, but that you got to have great big faith in order to get healed. And in order to get that great big faith, what you need to do is give them great big money, and then God will make sure that you get your great big healing. I'm going to tell you something. It takes less faith to get healed than it does to get saved, according to Jesus Christ. Because with healing, you see the thing happen. But with faith, you just got to trust what he said. You know, it only takes two or three miracles to believe that Jesus Christ is the miracle worker he professed to be. The water changed into wine, the healing of this nobleman's son was enough, but they kept wanting to see it everywhere they went. And anyway, he told them the great sign that he would give them, that he, that would that that they deserved, that they needed, was the sign of the prophet Jonas. I was over there in Matthew chapter 12 with you a little while ago. Let's go back over there in verse 39. He answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And then he says this generation is going to be judged by the men of Nineveh. Now what's the deal? The sign of the prophet Jonas, if you go back to Jonah chapter 2, is that Jonah cried out of the belly of hell. And that's where Jesus Christ was for 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And God raised him up. And he raised up the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that people need to believe. And even Thomas himself wouldn't believe it until he saw it for himself. It's a major thing. It takes faith. But it's in the believing of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that people are going to get saved. That's the gospel. Paul said, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. That death, that burial, that resurrection was for your sins and for your eternal life. So Paul says that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, there's the sign of the prophet Jonas, thou should be saved. So this idea, listen, when you need finances, when you need to be healed, hey, man, go to God. He's the one that can take care of you. But these ideas, this idea of following these guys around that profess to be the miracle workers, these guys are happy to do all that because they're getting rich off of you. Jesus Christ was grieved to do that. He was tired of an adulterous generation that kept wanting to see a sign. I just want you to remember the distinction between the two. They're not the same. They're not the same. You need healing? Go to Jesus. Get faked and lose some money? Go to these guys that are getting rich off of your ignorance. Okay, we've been a little bit rough and a little bit direct with you today, but we're trying to help you out and trying to show you something from the book.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.